I'd like to call to order the Susquehanna County Board of Supervisors regular meeting for June the 18th, 2014 to order, and would we all stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance and a moment of silence? I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. I forgot to put my agenda in my iPad. I read it on the computer, and then I forgot to do it. Anyway, before we have the county administrator's report, I think the Wayne and the Fusty crew needs 2 or 3 days off. They've been, every time I see them, they're in holes.
Saturday and Sunday this week, we hope they're in the hole.
And then I went by Kara's book, and they were in another. I didn't even stop. You know? So I hope, I know they're doing a good job, but my goodness, they need enough time to clean out the red mud out of their ears and tear up the mud. And it was hot.
We'll show you some of the pictures.
Yeah.
We might want to readdress that break.
But anyway, we will now have our county administrator's report.
Evening, Madam Chair, members of the board, just a few things to cover. The summer reading program that the library is off to a great start like it is every year, and they've got a lot of good programs this year for the kids. They've already had a couple programs and more programs coming. Mondays are movies for kids, the Lego block parties every Friday, and the craft workshops are on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And so we've got a lot of good attendance already, but great opportunities for families and for children to have things to do this summer in our fantastic library. These are some of the shots from the Fuzzy pipe repairs. What happened last week is there was a pipe break right under Highway 15 across from Fremont. And, of course, VDOT doesn't want you to tear up the highway, and so we were looking for directional drilling underneath the highway, but they decided that they could put a smaller line in, and so they threaded it through the existing old line rather than have to re-drill, and so it worked out pretty well. Problem is, once you put one line in and then repressurize it, then other things start popping. Of course, that happened too. There was another valve that went and some other things. So they had multiple repairs to do. But by the time they got done digging these big holes and putting the new pipes in, had a much better system in that area. And you can tell that some of the stuff is really old. But these guys down working in not quite as hot a temperature as last week, but then they followed right on with digging at social services this week. They've got a lot of work to do, and it's on an ongoing basis. And you can see the aftermath. They did a really good job of cleaning up the areas, and they'll be reseated in there quickly, and you won't even notice pretty soon that the work was done. But some really good repairs they laid out and got done with great speed and a lot less cost than it would have been if we had to bring a contractor in to drill for us.
What was the cost?
I don't know. They haven't finalized the stuff. Plus, he puts that in the reports, and Mr. Stevens is not available tonight, so I don't know what the total cost is, the operating cost for that. But mostly labor cost and then the parts that they used with it. But they didn't have to bring a contractor in to drill, do the directional drilling under the road, which is good. They did it with their existing staff. Vanderlyn Recycling is who we're spotlighting this week. Mr. Popowitz and I met with Peter Vanderlyn 2 or 3 weeks ago, but he's got a newly invented process that really is going to change the single stream recycling industry, not just here, but it may be a worldwide change on the system they're putting in place, and they'll be unveiling that shortly at their plant here, and we expect to do some press releases with them and get some press coverage when that new plant system is online. We visited that and saw the construction that's underway to use this new facility that they've created. But this is an invention by Mr. Vanderlyn, the president of Vanderlyn Recycling. That's one of the areas we'll focus on when we have a VIP visit here in a couple weeks. Mr. Weaver?
Do you know the difference of what they are going to do as compared to what they are doing? Do you know what that difference is?
I can't explain it to you, Mr. Van Loon, Kim, and we'll be glad to, once he gets that announced, we'll be glad to get him here down here to explain it, because we'll get it on the record, too. It's really innovative what they've done, and they think that it's going to be the type of thing that's going to go to plants all around the world for recycling. It's a much more efficient way of sorting and selecting materials out of the single stream recycling, but I don't know the details of it. I just know the machines were really big. So. JABA has a public meeting coming up for just the residents in Fluvanna County to inform people about what JABA does, the Jefferson Area Board for Aging. That will be at Parks and Rec the 25th of June, on Wednesday the 25th at 10 a.m. And so folks can come learn about what services JABA has to offer and ask questions of the representatives there. And the Jefferson Area Board for Aging has a very broad range of services they provide for seniors in our community. We're still looking for recruiting the community volunteer coordinator, waiting on additional applications for that. Partnership for Aging vacancies, we did get one application for the Columbia District today, and we think we've got one more coming. The Fork Union District, we reached out to the Senior Center. Jason talked to them today, and we'll follow up. We're looking for a representative for Fork Union District in Columbia. You will be able to fill the final at-large position tonight. You've got two candidates to consider on that. And that'll be tough because both candidates are really, really talented, really dedicated, really interested in serving. I just got a note from Glenn Ayler, the superintendent at Central Virginia Regional Jail. The jail authority has a rotating at-large seat. We're in the hopper. I didn't realize this till the day before yesterday. We're in the hopper for this coming year. So we can put somebody in that at-large seat, appointed by the Board of Supervisors, and they can either be a supervisor or a citizen. Because this hasn't come since I've been here, I would suggest that we have the sheriff, we have a citizen, and this at-large seat, I would suggest, since it's just a one-year appointment, and then we roll off for several years because it rotates through the localities, you might want to select a supervisor to put on that. I think the meetings are only quarterly, so it's not a lot of meetings, but because there's the big construction project going on, it might be good to ask questions and be involved in the jail board while that's cooking. But we could do the appointment any time, get the paperwork ready, and the first meeting is July 10th.
What day does that fall on?
The 10th is...
I mean, what day is it?
The 1st is a Monday. It's a Wednesday. And it's the in-between our meetings, so it's, it's the second Wednesday. In July, it's the second Wednesday, but Wednesday is
July 10th?
July 10th is Thursday.
Thursday.
Oh, sorry, the 1st is Tuesday. I'm sorry.
Right. What time did you say it is?
6 p.m.
Is anybody interested in doing that now? We can go ahead and...
Yeah, we can prepare the paperwork for the motion and get someone appointed if one of the board members wants to do it. Because it's just a one-year...
Well, I was thinking that. I was wondering about time, because Thursday, so I'm usually tied up, but... Let me think about it.
You are thinking about it. It's between Don and...
Thank
you.
Don Allison.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll let you know this week.
Okay, good. We can just do the appointment at the July 2nd. I'll have a motion for it at the July 2nd meeting, and then get that to Superintendent Ayler, and then the meeting will be on the 10th. And we'll get communication to whoever it's going to be so they'll know in advance. That will be easier than just trying to reach out and try to find a citizen, and then just have them there just 1 year to pull them off. And I think, I'm assuming it holds true for the supervisors, too. The jail board, by our policy, pays $85 per meeting. You have to actually attend the meeting, but it's $85 per meeting. So even a supervisor, if they're appointed, that would get $85 less taxes for the meetings. That's what the compensation is for that specific role. And then the July 2nd agenda. You've got a hard copy of the July 2nd agenda there in front of you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pull up here on the screen. The two things I really want to kind of talk about are the public hearing and then the candidate reviews. Because we've started doing some of these candidate reviews for various board positions, I want to figure out how we can put those in the agendas. Now, we've got a public hearing on the 2nd for the Fork Union Sanitary District Ordinance Amendment and a rate change. It's a 4 o'clock meeting with a 7 o'clock work session. We can do it either at 4 o'clock in the afternoon because it's late in the day, different than the 2 o'clock meetings were, or do it at 7 o'clock. But I want to make sure that you let us know which you would prefer and if there's any guidance we need from the county attorney for that. And then on the candidate interviews, because that may be an ongoing thing, if you're still going to want to hear from various folks for different kinds of boards, I would suggest that we just put the word out that candidates that are on the board agenda, our office can notify them that they are able to come speak during the first public comment section to talk about their candidacy for that position, because that way you'll hear from them before the votes come up later on in the meetings, and we won't have to schedule something special. We can just have them slated to come in to do it during the first public comment each time if there are going to be any candidates like that. Now, for this meeting, we've got folks coming in at 7 o'clock for that night. We had pre-scheduled them to come in at 7 o'clock at the work session on the 2nd. But I think in the future, you could just do it during the public comment section.
We're doing it under unfinished business, right?
Well, for tonight, because, we've never done this before, and so I just put it on under unfinished business now because we didn't have... Next time we put it on later, so you can always move it up under public comment tonight if you want to, too. I was just trying to find ways to make this as efficient and easy as possible. If you want to hear from a candidate for a board position, when do you want to hear from them? Do you want to hear from them on new business, old business, a separate agenda item, or just put it under public comment?
I don't think it matters because it's maximum.
Do you have to hear from all of them anyway?
So it's 5 minutes apiece, so it really doesn't matter when we do it.
Yeah, if you do it in public comments at the beginning, then you at least you've heard all of it before you get to any discussions or votes later on.
Well, on the Planning Commission, I don't know if you need to interview them. Usually it's been the proper protocol that the person of that district chooses who they want on the Planning Commission. I mean, that's always been the way it's been.
Oh, yeah, I agree, Mr. Rubin. I'm not suggesting that all candidates for all boards and commissions... I'm just suggesting you would ask for the Finance Board and for the PVCC Board. I would just suggest you re-notify the candidates, whichever ones you do want to hear from, for whatever boards. Those are the two I know of now. And we notify them, and we can just have them come and speak during the public comments in the first session, because that's right up front, and you've got...
It only happens twice. Anything that's convenient.
Right, and anytime that you have those in the future, if there's something you want to hear from, we'll just we'll schedule them to make sure they come for the public comments section. And if you want to do Mr. Swigert tonight, or Dr. Swigert tonight, you can do that as well. Put them just in the public comments rather than waiting until later in the meeting. And then the public hearing, do you want to do it at 4 o'clock at the beginning where you normally would? But, we've historically done public hearings at 7 o'clock meetings, but because you've got a 4 o'clock meeting now, is that late enough in the day, and would that be reasonable to do that so people can still get here to hear? Or do you want to do it at the beginning of the 7 o'clock work session?
That would be up to the chair.
But it doesn't make any difference to me, right? Whenever you are.
Let's do it at 4 on the schedule. Right? Okay, that'll be fine. Okay, so that's all I had on the agenda. I just wanted to make sure I had them locked in so we could do them the right way. And then your meeting is on the 2nd, the regular meeting at 4 o'clock, the work session at 7. I don't have a specific topic. Now, we could, we always plan to cover strategic initiatives, but if we don't have anything specific for that time, do you want a work session item or do you not?
No.
So just a 4 o'clock meeting?
Yeah.
Good. And then if we have a bunch of things, we'll just stretch, we'll be able to run for 2 or 3 hours. But,
okay. Right.
Good, thank you very much.
That's all I have.
We agreed
not to
have it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's good.
Right, unless there's some topic of interest.
Mm-hmm.
Good, thank you. That's all I have.
All right, any questions? If there are no questions, right now we want the Board of Supervisors to update us on any type of commission or committee that they have attended since our last time that we've had this on the agenda. Did you need to inform us about anything?
Meeting Monday.
Okay.
We've got to head up
with social services.
Yeah.
Okay.
Off this topic, I did, and Mr. Sheridan did also, took a walk at Pleasant Grove today.
Mm-hmm.
And I was impressed by the electrical work that's been done. I mean,
at Pleasant Grove.
Yeah, it's all powered up. You can take your electrical grill down there and plug it right in.
You cook some steaks.
You cook some steaks.
All right, that's good.
Did you notice that I toured it also about 4 or 5 days ago, and they put it in the elevator, they were getting it adjusted, and put it in, and then I went upstairs.
Oh, you went in there?
Yeah, hard head guy took me around and asked to go in. And they said maybe at the end of summer or there this fall that they should have it done, which I was surprised.
That's the schedule. What's the past this weekend?
Mid-July with soft opening mid to late August.
Yeah, that's really good. So I was very much impressed. And they're using raw materials such as plaster on the walls. No sheetrock.
The Department of Historic Resources and of VDOT, which part of the plans come out, have been very careful in identifying, making sure that the historic preservation happens and the materials are reasonable and appropriate. All the new brick, they selected, went through 4 or 5 different types of brick before they finally found the one in the right mortar to make it match as closely as possible. And so I think they've done a really good job, but it's been a long, complicated, difficult job, but an 1854 house with no sub-basement or no subfloor foundation, it's a tough thing to renovate.
Well, and I want you to know that I did a little bit of investigating work, too. I went out to the ball field, checked out the dirt. Because we were doing that. $1,500, $2,000
that
last load.
You didn't do a full investigation if you didn't break the infield.
That's what that is. It was not like he didn't know it.
So he didn't complete his best.
Yeah, well, it was rough, you know.
Is that $150,000 bathroom?
Not yet, but I saw the other one, and it may do. One thing, though, you bring up the restroom. There at Pleasant Grove, that one's finished right there on Pleasant Grove, and it's really a nice one. All the records hooked up, and it's really nice. I noticed that you had copper trowels, water spouts, and all that. So it's really, really fancy there.
I don't know much about the design. That's not my bailiwick, but Parks and Rec, Public Works, all the community members that have worked on this design, this package, have really done a good job. And Daniel and Company has been really good to work with. And so, while it's been a difficult process, and you've had to put more money against it, it's going to be a pretty amazing showpiece when it's done.
And Jason Smith, he was complimented very much on the garden that they have. They said that he's brought a lot of mulch, and you have a nice fence up all the way around. It really looks good, and you're even keeping groundhogs out of there, so it's pretty good.
Oh, wow. You know you can eat those.
Yeah,
oh,
absolutely. Young ones, anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's really nice. We're getting out and taking a look at our work.
Only
right? This is wonderful.
You never know.
Mike, do you have anything?
No.
Mike, do you have anything?
No, ma'am. I'm not
having anything. Okay. I've attended the Interagency Council meeting, which all the people who work with our people, and we had we're redirecting, trying to get more people involved. We have a Boys and Girls Club it's in Scottsville. So Bertha Armstrong and I went out there this week to talk to the people, and we're trying to get more kids to in that program. It's $35 a year, and that's all year and summer. They're not asking us for any money. All of it is provided through grants and fundraisers. People really get out and raise funds. So we have that close by. Of course, I kept saying, we have Cunningham. Are you ever going to satellite out? And I don't know if they ever will that.
Mr. Smith, that would be a good
place to have it. Columbia School may be a good place as well. Mm-hmm. I also attended the Rye Valley River Basin Commission, and now I'm on the executive board and the board. And they're really trying to find themselves. It's a organization that we need. I don't know what percentage of the Rye Valley River is in Fluvanna, but I think the greatest percentage is in Albemarle, right?
Albemarle Green.
So I hope to be bringing you all some more information about what they're doing. And then the audit, we had a pre-meeting. There's an audit going on for CSA. And did they come out today to actually do the audit or yesterday?
No, started today.
Okay, started today, and then...
Three days. And we had three meetings of the week.
So they are going to look at CSA, and then they'll come back and give us a report on CSA, because, you know, that's a big money thing for us, for our children and families. Okay, why did I have advisory council down here?
We give them.
I'm talking about the youth advisory council. Went to a meeting. We meet 8:30 in the morning once a month at the library. And we have a young lady who was in the Fluvanna County leadership class to come up with a very ambitious after-school program for middle school. So we kind of tackled that and looked at it, and we want to support her, but by giving her the resources she needs, but the school really needs to be the ones to jump into that and see what they can do. Okay, anything else anybody would like to share?
Speaking of nonprofit social services, are we carrying the load financially until there's a budget?
Yes.
And
our purchases are just going on as normal.
And we're cutting checks.
Continued payment is normal. What I would hesitate on is capital expenditures. But regular day-to-day
operations.
Right. Yeah, we haven't changed anything.
Because their fiscal year starts
June 1st,
not July.
Yeah.
But we kind of face that every year. If the state budget is always delayed, it's kind of a carry-through, and it's obviously they're not the only one. The school has two or three fiscal years they face from different sources of funds. But in this case, all it is, as long as continued operations go, we don't have any problem with cash flow to cover that.
Okay.
Or does that count for the 3 months that we're talking about?
Well, we could go a year if you're not going to do capital expenditures, and that's the only thing we had to carry, would be social services.
And we're still holding off.
Right. No, first of all, you can't spend anything now anyway because we're not in fiscal year 15 yet. But capital expenditures wouldn't go forward unless we have a state budget and the board's been informed of what the status of the state budget is. We'll give you an update tonight on where we think the decrements might be. We think there's very minimal impact on the county budget this year based on what the state's adopted, but we've still got to wait until the 22nd or 23rd to get through the governor's either approval or veto or line item veto of the various items. But of all the things we've heard, and we'll go through this briefly shortly, there's not much impact on the county monetarily.
But I would certainly question that when I understand that they have a shortfall of well over $1 billion. I mean, where's that going to be reduced from?
So the $1.5 or $1.6 billion they're talking about now in the biennium shortfall, about half of that will be taken up through the rainy day fund, and others will be taken up through cuts in the budget. The cuts that have been identified in the news media, from our sources at the State House, and from different articles and reports, mostly hit programs that either don't fund us, or they're new starts that we don't have in our county. There are some small school cuts. Most of the cuts were not to K-12, they were to higher education. We're estimating about between $20,000 and $40,000 impact on the school's funding at this point, and that's what the schools have estimated too. So it's not very much.
Less per student, in other words.
Huh?
Less per student.
Yeah, but just only a total of about $20,000 for the year.
Okay.
Out of their $35 million budget, okay, 36. And then some other small areas like potentially career development pay for constitutional officers. The budget that was sent to the governor does not include career development pay this year. So, but that's always been on a year-by-year, case-by-case basis. But those are really the only two things we found so far that would impact our county budget. And so if the governor adopts it without many changes, then the budget you adopted on April 16th will be able to go forward with any changes.
All right, thank you. Any other questions? Thank you. We have our public comment, first public comments now, but we would also like to have our PVCC candidate to come and address us. If you look at your site, you will see his He has a written 2 pages, and we also have from Piedmont Virginia Community College Board the expectations of those individuals that are serving. Welcome, Mr. Gerald Swigert.
Swigert.
Swigert. Swigert. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the board. Thank you for this opportunity to discuss my qualifications and interests for the PVCC Board of Advisors position. I want to thank each of you for accommodating my schedule conflict on July 2nd. I'm going on vacation. My birthday is July 3rd, and I'm going.
Yes.
So thank you very much for accommodating that. My name is Dr. Gerald E. Swigert. I live at 787 Taylor Ridge Way in Palmyra, Virginia. I've been a resident of Fluvanna County since June of 2010 when my wife and I bought a home there. We moved from McLean, Virginia. Unfortunately, she passed away recently, and so I'm part of the reason I'm interested in this position is I've got a lot of time on my hands right now, and I would like to take advantage of that and make my experience and my some of my capabilities of use to the community if there is a need. I've been a major sponsor through my company, GIS Enterprises, Brian Searcy, in the Fluvanna High School golf program since 2010. I'm a big golfer, so I'm not very good, but I like to play. I've met twice with Dr. Frank Friedman, president of PVCC, to discuss his plans for the college and my interest in being on the board, just to see what Dr. Friedman wanted to do. Those meetings went well, as far as I know, but you may have heard. My primary objectives for the board are to assist Dr. Friedman and to maintain the academic strength of PVCC while keeping the tuition cost as low as possible. I know there's now a cost conflict that you all have just talked about, the state's reducing its contributions to junior colleges or community colleges, and so it's a tough deal. And I know he just had to raise the tuition this month. I think he raised it first time in 6 years. So there's a cost squeeze coming, but he's dedicated to keeping the academic credentials of the college at their highest possible level, and that's what I believe. I see PVCC as the best opportunity for most Fluvanna High School graduates and many county small business people to further their education and prepare themselves for well-paying and satisfying careers. It's just the type of folks that live here, and it's a tremendous resource, and that's why I'm interested in it. I might add that as a person who values education, and you're going to hear I've had a ton of it, and a former corporate employee and longtime business owner, I recognize that it's important to have accessibility of highly skilled people in order if you're going to site a new business. I just heard today that K-Tech and PVC have started some conversations to see about expanding a new campus or something for K-Tech for various reasons. I don't know if that will come to pass or not, but it's the right direction. Whether that's the right deal or not, I don't know, but it's the right direction to go. And there's a big need for folks who actually know how to work and do work, and tradesmen and so forth. There's a huge need for that, and that's what one thing PVCC can help a lot with. I think that continuing education is a huge need. It's important once a person gets a job, jobs change. The requirements of jobs change. And it's better to keep an employee, a good employee that's earning, that's doing a good job, and help them get trained than it is to go hire a new person with a new set of skills. And that's a way to use PVCC to the best advantage possible. I also think that the program they've got where they start educating high school seniors and giving them a head start into college is a tremendous program. And for those who want to take advantage of it and who have the academic skills, it's a good way to get a good jump start on college. So that's kind of what I see I could do for this university. A little bit about me, just so you're aware. I've attended 2 excellent universities that have a PhD in chemical engineering. I've been employed in high-level technical management and corporate officer positions with DuPont, Olin, Lockheed, and SAIC. I fully understand the corporate culture and what it takes to succeed in this environment. And it's a lot more than just showing up and doing a good job. It's a tough game to play. I've worked in the oil, natural gas, petrochemical industry. I've been in the manned spacecraft program in the NASA Johnson Space Center in Houston. I've been in the nuclear energy business, both commercial power and nuclear weapons side. I've been very involved in the radioactive waste environmental remediation programs for the Department of Energy. Thank gosh, Fugana County does not have any of those. Ask your friends in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and they don't like it. And then the energy programs at the national labs. As you know, the renewable energy and all of these other things are a big deal now. I've owned and operated my management consulting business, GIS Enterprises, for almost 20 years, based in Washington, D.C. I've consulted for over 30 of the foremost energy and engineering companies as they pursued work with the federal government, both in DOE, NASA, and the Department of Defense. I've worked closely with the House and the Senate Appropriations Committees on budget issues for many years. So in closing, I think that my academic and business experience will be an asset to both the county and to PVCC in the years to come. If the board so chooses, I would look forward to this opportunity to serve the Central Virginia region that is now my home. I'd be happy to answer any questions, and I appreciate this opportunity.
Okay, any questions?
Yes. How do you feel about the constant increase in tuitions at the universities, such as the University of Virginia, and the differences that they've had in the board and so on? How do you feel about that?
It's a very difficult problem. The universities have been locked in a way of doing business for the last 20 or 30 years, which is basically a brick-and-mortar system. It costs them more every year to do that, to hire staff. There's been a resistance to going to online education and other things that will significantly reduce tuition for people who can take advantage of, in effect, self-educating themselves. We're pricing college out of reach of most people. You have your choice of going in debt for the rest of your life to pay for a college degree, which may or may not earn you enough extra money to cover the debt. It's a terrible deal. The administration now is starting to think about a public bailout for student loans. I don't know how this would work, but they've got a whole generation of people who can't afford themselves anymore. They come out of school with $50,000 to $100,000 debt, and they're lucky if they get a job, and if the job pays $50,000 a year, they're darn lucky. And if it's in a place that costs $100,000 a year to live, they're in real trouble, like New York City. So it's, you've hit upon, I think, the crux of the problem of higher education. A place like PVCC offers a lower cost, not low cost, but a lower cost alternative to a four-year school like UVA. And there's a lot of people that 2 years of the right training is what they need. Does that get around what you're talking about?
Would you be a rubber stamp for increased tuitions each year like the university is?
No, I would not be. I would be looking for alternative ways of doing business. That's been the way of my life. I've spent all my life looking for alternative ways. I worked in companies that the way you kept your job was you made a profit at the end of the year.
There you go.
That was the way you stayed employed. And so that's, and I think an academic institution, they've fallen into this trap of assuming that money grows on trees. And it doesn't. At least I don't know any of those trees.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Any questions? Do you know the makeup of the board, and how do you see yourself working with the board, where people are coming from different communities with different needs?
That's a good question. The short answer is I'm not real familiar with the board. I know it represents, I think it's five counties, and there's varying numbers of representatives from each county. I would think that I, first of all, would be looking for some guidance from you folks and others in the community on what is good for Fulana County as that enters debates or discussions within the board for PVCC. Obviously, everything is a compromise. But the answer to your question is I would hope to be a team member of the board representing the wishes of this county, but also what's good for the whole region. And I don't know anybody on the board. I've only met Dr. Friedman, so I have no biases going in one way or the other. I'm relatively new to the community. I spent 21 years living in McLean, Virginia. I've lived in Texas and Delaware, Oregon, the Middle East. So I've had a good or bad exposure to lots of different environments. Like this area a lot. This is where my wife and I were planning to retire, and ovarian cancer took her away, and so now I am I'm looking for something to do.
How do you see your relationship with the school system here? How would you interface with them?
Brian Searcy is the one and only person I know that works with these. I would assume that at that level, it would be primarily through the high school and the principal and whatever the leading administrators of the high school are. Dr. Freeman made it very clear that the board does not get engaged in the day-to-day academics of the college. It is in the environment of the college. And so I don't have any misunderstanding about that. I'm not there about hiring teachers or changing the way CAT courses are taught. But if there are ways that the school can do something that would be of advantage to Fumata High School, then I think... So I would hope that the principal or that person's representative would use me as a sounding board or as a conduit to get things into the discussion.
Good. Okay. Are there any other questions? If not, we appreciate you coming.
Thank you.
And have a happy birthday.
Thank you, ma'am. Nice vacation. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to address the board? If so, come to the mic with your name, address. You have 5 minutes. Anyone? Okay, if not, I will close the first public comments section. And we do not have public hearing this afternoon, but we do have some action matters. And the first one is with Parks and Recreation and the JABA MOU. Thank you.
Madam Chair,
Madam Chair, whenever you get ready to do the motion, make sure you use the motion on the board.
Okay.
I just added some language there to clarify it.
Mm-hmm.
It's essentially just an extension of your existing language in your package.
Okay.
But this one just has more clarity there for it. So.
Right. Okay. Harvey, thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is essentially a written agreement between the county and JABA. As you are aware, July 1st will be Parks and Rec will be taking over the programming piece on Wednesdays, and this will is basically an agreement between the two entities to make sure that Parks and Rec is going to be documenting what needs to be documented relating to food services, so we can continue that amenity.
Okay. Yeah.
I noticed.
Any questions?
Well, I noticed here that you have for presentation, and yet it's an action matter. And I'm sort of curious: how many hours a week or a year will you spend on this? You have fiscal impact. Is not, you know, that there would not be any fiscal impact, but are you not going to take up additional time?
We have some staff time that will be delegated to this responsibility, but overall we've been working with JABA and their leadership team to come up with a simplified, streamlined document that will make it short, sweet, simple, and we've got it worked out to where we'll be filling out the documents every Wednesday, and then at the end of the month they'll be coming to pick up things and ask questions if we have them.
And let me clarify too, while Parks and Rec is taking on some added responsibilities of managing the senior services program at Fumata County Parks and Rec, JABA used to bring a programmer in to do that. They've reduced their funding request from us, and we reduced their funding this year, so that funding went to the Parks and Rec budget for the operating cost of that. Our existing staff will run the senior center. This agreement addresses only the meals relationship, because JABA has federal program money that covers the nutrition program for senior centers, ours and others. This is just a relationship to make sure that they continue to provide the meals for that senior center, and that we provide them with the requisite information on how many attendees are going to be, what the nutrition requirements are, and fill out the appropriate forms to give it back to them. They will still deliver the meals to us, and we'll then set up and prepare and give the meals to the residents. But this one doesn't specifically address money, because all it is the existing food that JABA is doing, but because now they're not managing the center, we just want that they want an agreement to make sure their rules are still met.
Well, it says here, scope of services, Blue Banner County Parks and Rec will operate a senior nutrition site one day a week from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Will there be anybody there from Blue Banner Rec during those periods, 10 to 2?
Yes, sir.
So that's 4 hours right there.
Right. So those 4 hours, 1 hour of which will be a lunch period, if you want to call it that, and the remaining time will be rec activities. So we'll have speakers coming in and various...
And you have a staff member that's going to do that.
We have a full-time staff member that's dedicated to senior services.
To that portion of one
right.
day.
Correct.
And we reduced the funding request by $8,000 for this program and $3,600, I think,
increase for
Parks and Rec budget to support the
program
operating cost of this senior center.
But their budget was for this year was, what, $92,000 coming up? The new 92.4 something like that? Yes.
I'm not sure.
That's more like but that's part of this whole operation.
Yes, but their budget request was reduced by $8,000 because we were going to take over management of the senior center, but none of that was the food part of it. The food part is essentially a wash. Jabba always provided the food before. They're still going to provide the food. They're just saying, oh, by the way, because you're managing the senior center now, they'll still provide the food, but you have to make sure you do our paperwork.
And there are central documents that we need to keep track of so we can report that back to Java so we continue to have that service.
And that's once a week.
Probably document.
Yes, we actually do 2 days a week, but this one is the one responsible for Java.
I just want to wonder,
how many meals are we serving
that? Approximately 20 to 25.
Is that like the day I came over and spoke?
It's every Wednesday.
It's every Wednesday.
And then Tuesday we have a separate program that's sponsored by Parks and Rec too, but sometimes you'll see 35, you know, people there, and today there was about 20 there today.
Mm-hmm. I know you have a list here from Savannah County Parks and Rec agrees to, and you go down to ABC, clear down to K. I mean, it looks like quite a bit, but you're saying it's not going to be much.
Sure. Minimal, like I said, we've worked.
And Parks and Rec was doing a lot of some things.
We were helping out, so we kind of know the routine.
Right.
And this month we've been shadowing and asking a ton more questions just to make sure that the first week of July we're transitioning smooth.
Just want to add something real quick. Hi, Emily with Java.
Come to my family.
These things really are all in place right now. So really what this is taking what's in place and just putting it onto paper so we have this, you know, so that we're held accountable for what's happening because we won't have a Java staff member in that room on that Wednesday. So...
And so, for instance, on like B and C up here on the agreement, provide a safe ADA-compliant environment for older persons free of architectural barriers and limit their participation. That's already there. This is just codifying that so that Java is can be assured that we provide the appropriate place where they used to do it because they're not monitoring it, but they need to have those rules met to be able to qualify for the federal nutrition programs that they provide us services for. So essentially, this is just saying, continue doing what we're doing in the senior center already, because we're not going to be there every day. We want to put it on paper. That's what this document was meant to be. Mr. Payne is not particularly thrilled about having MOUs done anyway, and I don't disagree.
Yeah, that bothers me too.
Their requirements for the food and nutrition program.
Yeah, I know Dave Matthew. You might not know, but they made a contribution today to you. I didn't remember that amount, but
to whom?
It was on the radio.
To
the Matthew Van. They made a donation.
Oh, to Java.
Yeah.
Through Bauman Works?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So
I haven't caught wind of that yet.
Okay. We caught wind of it now.
Okay. Well, I mean, it could have gone to, you know, any program.
Oh, yeah. Program. And they did.
Yeah.
Many others.
That's great.
Which is good.
They do. Nice.
Thanks for sharing.
More supplies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions? We have anything else? Okay, with that, we are ready for the motion. Someone would like to do that.
I move to adopt the Memorandum of Understanding between Cleveland County Parks and Recreation and Jefferson Area Governance for Aging for Nutritional Services in support of Cleveland County Senior Center Operations and authorize the County Administrator to execute the agreement, subject to approval as to form by the County Attorney.
Okay, we have a second. We need a second?
I'm second.
So we don't have a second, and we don't have a memorandum of understanding. Can I have you to tell me, evidently we have some more questions or some misunderstandings. But we don't want JABA to do the nutritional services for our senior center. And that's basically what that says. I need to have a rationale for there's some misunderstanding or there's something not understood. You know, like something that you could.
Perhaps they didn't like the memorandum of understanding. I just think we continue to get more involved, deeper involved in a lot of these things that people should take on themselves. And they are. They take on a lot now. But, you know, we're just edge our way in. That's the way with government. They just sort of creep into other people's lives. And that bothers me.
You're thinking that Parks and Recreation is taking on more than they
I think
should?
They already acknowledge that they're going to be there basically those 4 hours from 10 until 2. So that's about 200 hours. I mean, if you want to get technical. It's just the overall situation that seems to continue to develop. And I think people are getting tired of increased services and this continued spending.
But it's not an increased service. It's the same service that they've had all the time.
That's
it's
right.
Just
I understand.
JABA brings the bus down and they feed the people. But they have different kinds of ways that they have to keep record of what they feed and all of that kind of thing. And this has been a pretty nice trade-off. We have been, Fluvanna has been complimented and on the board of directors with how well we have handled this whole thing.
What board of directors is this?
JABA's board of directors.
Well, actually, they would.
But we took money from them and gave it to our Parks and Recreation because of this sharing of taking care of our senior citizens. Now, let's look at, if we don't have this memorandum of understanding, where are we?
Emily, do y'all look at this as us trying to take over, or y'all wanting us to help?
It's really an opportunity to deliver services in a really dynamic, collaborative way. I mean, this is not being done in any other county, so it's not, I mean, Parks and Rec has their language and JABA has their language a little bit. Taking over the programming and the creative aspect of that day, yes, Parks and Rec will be responsible for creating the activity calendar and scheduling presentations and all that kind of thing. The nutritional component of that program, which is really the foundation and the history of that day, JABA is responsible for. So this really just spells out what we're trying to do together.
Yeah.
Really. And we have to be able to go and report back to VDA and say that we are holding these staff members accountable for the nutritional aspect. We're going to have JABA representation coming monthly to check the reports and make sure there's questions answered and all that kind of stuff. But we just have to have that. When JABA gets monitored, they're going to say, where's your MOU with Parks and Rec that holds them responsible if a meal isn't served properly, that kind of thing. So.
And I think, too, that we are also trying to expand our senior citizen services in the Scottsville area. The Veterans of Foreign War have given their building for the senior citizens in that area to come and mingle and do some things. So we are expanding. We're not just talking about Fork Union. We have Lake Monticello people. We have we have got lots of little.
And we didn't just create this. Jason and I,
community came together and talked about it. You all met all over.
Oh my gosh!
I went to all the meetings, and they want these things. They want to be involved. They want to be useful. They want to have a place to go, have a meal together. And this is the first time we've had opportunity to do that.
Right.
If we don't do this, then that means that we have to restructure everything. You're going to still feed them. You're going to still come down. And because you're doing that anyway.
Yeah.
The only thing that's different is you don't have a site facilitator there. So you'll have to go hire a site facilitator.
For minimal hours.
And, right. And we say, take that money away from Parks and Recreation. You all stay out of it. All that are there in your building. And you've always been involved with them. With the senior citizens. But that's where we are. So if we don't want to move in this direction, and we want to go back to where we are, then we need to sit down with MARTA and the rest of the people and say, the MOU is not going to work. Where do we go from here? I'd like for my county administrator to chime in if he has anything that he would like to say, because he's looking at me strange.
No, I'm a little mystified, but
there's no second to this.
Yeah, but
so
we still need to talk about it.
I have to be able to provide, under your guidance, I have to be able to provide a senior services center operation next week and the week after and the week after, unless you choose for us to not do. The only thing this changes is it decreased the amount of money that left Nevada County so that our staff, our person we've hired that does senior services programming as part of our regular Parks and Rec staff, that person is going to monitor the program, do the creative part of aspects, but the meals that were always there are still going to come there.
I'm not in favor of an MOU. That's simple.
Oh, so in other words, you agree with us doing this, but don't do it with an MOU.
Well, you're already doing it, period.
So you're saying we don't need an MOE. We trust that these things are going to happen.
Well, our state agency needs to see documentation. So that's why this was created, was so that when we get monitored, they say, okay, well, yeah, just to say, okay, well, the staff member who is in the room and receives the meal and plates it and gives it to a senior is aware of the plating temperature and just has the documentation there.
But the requirement for gloves, the requirement for cleanliness, the requirement for heated food, the requirement for maintaining temperatures on food. But those are required by any kind of
in here.
Like those things are required in any kind of food service programs. And because JAVA is doing a handoff now of the food, they're bringing the food prepared, ready to go, they're bringing it to us. They just need to make sure that we're aware of and trained so that when we handle the food, we do it in the correct way so they can answer to the people that give them the money for this nutritional program.
And if there's any violations, it's on us.
No.
It's on both agencies. I mean, if we are serving food not within these guidelines, if we, for instance, left the food laying on the counter for 3 hours and then served to the seniors, of course we're on the hook for it.
Well, here's something, too. It says, includes the use of correctly operating refrigerator and stove that maintains food at or above 140 degrees. So it implies that maybe we don't have a refrigerator over there that's correctly being operated, or that there's equipment over there that can't get the food up to 140 degrees.
It doesn't mean that at all, Mr. Weaver.
That's what I get out of it.
It's the ongoing requirements. We already meet all these requirements with our senior center, every one of these. This is just codifying because JAVA is no longer going to be there and be responsible for it because we're going to be managing the senior center now. This is the things we just have to be aware of. But our equipment and the facilities there already do all this.
We have to make sure the hot dogs are 140 degrees.
When that refrigerator breaks, it's not a JAVA replaced refrigerator, it's a Fluvanna County replaced refrigerator.
I'm calling the motion.
We had a motion.
The discussion's ended.
Yeah.
There's no second.
Yeah, it's
so
no
done.
Second.
It
so,
does.
Right, it's dead. But so now we're talking about what is it that we want. We're at that point. What do we want to advise these people standing here and our county administrator to do with that? the MOU is dead, where do we want to go from here?
Madam Chairman, let me comment on this.
All right.
I've been quoted as saying,
all because of you.
I don't like MOUs, and I don't like MOUs. I'm satisfied that this does what was intended to be done, and that is the responsibility for operating the program is being transferred from JABA, which is basically a governmental entity. It's not like the Salvation Army or something. From JABA to the county. It lays out the relevant responsibilities of the two parties. In my judgment, it does it in an adequate way under these circumstances. My general feeling is, and what I meant by I don't like MOUs, is if you're going to have something which lays out rights and responsibilities, it ought to be a contract. This is not a contract, but I think something short of a contract is good enough in this case because we are dealing with two governmentally based organizations. This is the kind of thing we would do with the health department, for example, mm-hmm. or we would do it with state police, something like that. So
cooperative extension.
So I don't want you to think that I think it's unlawful or something. I don't, and my comments have nothing to do with the merits of the program. It's not my job to express opinions on that. I'm not expressing opinions on it. So I think the issue is JABA has told you that they need an MOU or something like an MOU to satisfy their funding sources and their supervising entities if they're going to join with the county to provide these services. I think that leaves you with three alternatives. One, if you don't want to enter into an agreement like this, this MOU or something like this, then I think your alternatives are, number one, back off what your position was. The county is not going to do this activity and let JABA keep doing it if they want to. Second, you can simply take it over and do it just the county without JABA. Or third, you can abandon the whole process. And I don't know of anything else you can do.
Okay.
But didn't we have an MOU with Louisa?
At one point we did.
Yeah.
But that was that later ripened into a contract.
Yeah.
We did have a contract. And you notice it got a lot more... The relationship got a lot more formal when you had a contract as opposed to an MOU.
We can do a contract.
Okay, so you've heard the suggestions from our attorney. We have three things, and you've heard from Ms. Dodain from JABA that we can do a contract. So let's have some discussion about those three things, and let's decide on what we're going to do.
If we go back and don't do this,
mm-hmm.
Are we going to have to pay you more money since now you're going back and doing something you weren't supposed to be doing?
I don't feel like I can answer that question without having other representatives here.
Well, I would think you just keep on doing what you're doing.
Yes, we certainly can.
I mean, you do get $92,400 and some dollars, I have written down.
Yes, we also, JABA does a lot of other things.
We cut the money for staffing, so that means we need to put the money back in for staffing. If we want them to continue doing what they've been doing, then we need to put the money back
That's
in.
That's a simple enough transfer we gave to the person, right?
So
you put some just back in the general fund, you put $3,600 to Parks and Rec.
Right.
But you also have a skilled staff member whose role is to programming and doing senior services.
Right.
He's been attending our team meetings. He's
right.
Very engaged and
yes.
really excited about this.
And for months we've been talking about trying to expand our outreach for senior services to do it in different places in our county.
I'd like to see different locations, and I've been just saying this for a long time.
Well,
you're 13 miles from the
from 50% of the population in this county. And if you're looking at elderly individuals driving 13 miles, that's 26 miles, that's too far.
But,
and that's been my issue for a long time.
Yeah, but Bob,
I mean,
we have had that conversation.
And I'm going to keep having it.
We have.
Because we're spending over $100,000 a year on senior services that service, and you just said it yourself, we're moving to Scottsville.
Right.
Well, that doesn't help half
you didn't hear me. You didn't hear me.
I've heard you.
We met at Lake Monticello.
No, you
had met with those citizens.
You know, how many Lake Monticello individuals go to the senior center every
week? They are not going to see you.
That's correct. There you go.
He's not here, so I'll shut down right now.
I can, like,
he's not here.
You answered the question.
No, you didn't.
Half of the population doesn't attend the senior center.
I know they don't. That's nothing new. What they did was, we had a big conversation right here. They went out, they had an agenda, and their purpose was to make sure that we got senior center activities in every part of the county. They started off going to every jurisdiction. I went out to Lake Monticello and met in the Maple Room, whatever that is. The citizens came out, Java was there, and they talked about the things that they, parks, recreation, the things they could do. They went up to Kent Store. I went up there with them. They talked. They went down to Falk Union. They are at that stage now where they're trying to branch out and include Lake Monticello, up in the Scottsville area, and Falk Union. They haven't gotten there yet. This memorandum has nothing to do with that. We are going in that direction.
We're serving 22 meals, and not one of those meals goes outside of the 13 miles I'm talking about. That's fine. There is no argument here. So we're talking about, I can understand you arguing in favor of this because it's your district.
It's not to do with district. This is Fulbana County senior citizens, Bob. It's every Fulbana County.
Take the 22 people that attend there every week.
Don't make any difference.
And I'll tell you that there's 22.
And I don't know whether, do y'all serve any Meals on Wheels?
Yes, ma'am.
That's part of
Delivery
County.
Go throughout Fluvanna County.
Yeah, Fluvanna County.
That's on a volunteer basis, right?
So,
they volunteer.
So the drivers volunteer. Right.
Yeah, the drivers.
So anywhere that there's a service with parents, with people need food, I don't care if it's Lake Monticello, Kent Store, Falk Union, Scottsville, we have people out there delivering those meals.
What? Yes, ma'am.
So, it's not that one little section is the only thing.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about today.
Well, you brought that up, so I'm just really just trying to horn home because it seems to be. And it's a good conversation.
This is no cost.
So,
and Meals on Wheels is, what, $6 and change?
Well, it's not meal. We aren't Meals on Wheels.
No. That's correct.
But we're a home delivery meal program.
Right.
And UPS is actually going to start delivering meals.
Yes, and I told you all about that. Let's get back. Let's get back to what are we going to do? What do you want to do?
Leave it like it is.
All right, leave it like it is. So that means we transfer money back to MACA so they can hire someone.
Back to MACA.
Not
Matt,
to Java so they can hire someone.
Well, it's not quite as simple as just making a decision tonight. I'm going to have to sit down and meet with Java.
Yes, you
because
have
they,
to.
They've been planning, based on our budget discussions all spring along, on a specific route, and staff has been planning on a specific route. If you want to change that route, I just have to meet back with them again. We figure out how we can go forward on this. But
my suggestion would be that you direct the county administrator to staff appropriate alternatives.
Okay.
Bring it back to later meeting.
All right. So, does everyone agree that we will direct Mr. Nichols to go back and meet with Java, Parks and Recreation, and let's decide on what we're going to do? Okay.
I'm not hearing.
I need to hear from everybody.
We have no choice.
All right, Mike, Donald, what do you think?
I'm not sure.
But you're trying to help me to see what can we say to make you sure?
But you don't have to be sure what you want to do. The only issue here is directing the county administrator
to come back with something.
I know what you're asking.
All right, what do you think, Don? Do you agree to direct?
I think it's just leave it where it is.
What do you mean?
Just leave it where it is right now before they came up before us.
Leave it like it is.
Yeah. They have a budget of $92,000. They live within that budget. Do with that what they can. Like everybody else does.
So that would mean that we would put that in the budget, their budget, what we took out.
No, that's not what Mr. Weaver is saying, ma'am.
I know what he's saying. So what do you do?
if I said, okay, Jabba, your $92,000 is the total funding you're getting for this year, what can you do with that $92,000? I will just have to come back to you with a list of things that are racked and stacked in there, and we can request the areas and the targets and the focus we want. You did that a little bit this year in the budget because you identified some programs you thought were really important, and we can just renegotiate that down and come back with a proposal. And if you want focused on meals or certain services, fine. If you don't want to focus on that, if you want to focus on this, I think some of the things
focus on were
home visits,
right,
and volunteer services and a couple other things where your primary focus. But I'm sure Jabba can come back just like John did a few years ago and said, with this amount of money, here's what we can do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. So then let's...
I did too.
My suggestion is again to let the county administrator staff this up and tell you what his recommendations are, what the ramifications of it are. Because I think what you don't want to do is
I don't want this to be adversarial.
And you don't want to make a decision that you haven't gotten fully. You don't fully understand the ramifications of it, and that's. Well, I think staffing.
That's what's turning me right now is options.
But
here's a service that's servicing 22 out of 26,000 people in the county, and that's fact. I mean, there is nothing other than fact there, and I've been arguing for 2.5 years that the senior centers are in the wrong place. And that doesn't matter because I can argue until I'm blue in the face. It's not going to change because that's just the way it is. And that's part of my issue here. So we spent a half an hour arguing over what affects 22 people in the county. 22. And we're talking about more responsibility to our county staff for the same services that we're paying $92,000 for now and to another government entity that's stepping away from what I would consider where they get their federal money from. So I'm with leaving it the way it is and using our staff in more constructive ways to touch more than 22 people out of our county.
I think that we could say that for a lot of things that we finance in this county. I think we can say that we spend $1 million for maybe 100 and some kids who have ordinary needs.
Can you be specific about what you just said?
Yes, CSA. We spend millions of dollars maybe children, 100 in some cases.
We don't have anything to talk about that.
I'm not talking about control. I'm talking about applying what he said to see whether that's really meaningful. And if I felt that we were not trying to do something differently with the seniors in this county, because we know by 2020 there are going to be a whole lot of us running around. And that's the focus. And we are moving in that direction.
One thing I want to add that I take away from all the comments that were made, and I agree with Mr. Ellenbrook that 50% of the senior population lives 13 miles away. Most of my district is further than that. Mm-hmm. And if you were to put a senior center at Lake Monticello, we'd be even further away.
Right.
If you're going to do this and we're going to have this argument every night, we're wasting breath.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing we could possibly do is to utilize the firehouses that we built in each district and then possibly the DSW hall down at Scottsdale. Now we can service everyone instead of worrying about trying to put one senior center in that services one area.
Right.
Amen.
And that's what
we're beating our head against the wall if we're arguing about putting it in Lake Monticello versus Fort Canyon. That's beating our head against the wall.
That's right.
Let's use it to where we can service everyone.
And that's where we look. You said exactly what he said, but we're already doing that. So why are we sitting here talking about something that's already... Because we're not
aware. We can't do it alone.
Yes.
Parks and Rec is trying to grow their senior services program.
Mm-hmm.
So they bring therapeutic recreation into a program that we are running.
Mm-hmm.
When we go around to other parts of the county, which a staff member is already beginning to work on,
right.
The services that JAVA provides the community, like health insurance counseling, options counseling, case management, volunteer services, everything that we provide the entire county, we get stuck on these 22 people, but we reach and serve so many, so that when Jonathan...
And
specifically talking about the meals today.
Yeah,
we're not talking about all the job. We're not discussing that at all.
So, Mr. Allbach, for instance, if and when, in fiscal year 15, we have the ability to expand our senior services programs, which is talked about all spring long, and that's the plan, that's why we have requested that the dollars get transferred back into the Parks and Rec budget, the $3,600, so we've got more programming dollars to be able to support that. Going to Kent Store Fire Station, to Palmyra Fire Station, to the lake, to
other areas. That's got nothing to do with what we're talking about.
I'm getting there, sir. So we're planning on going out. Now, if we do a senior service center 2 days a month at Kent Store, we fully intend to negotiate with the Kent Store Fire Company to be able to use the kitchen facilities, and we fully expect that JAVA will be providing meals for those seniors at that site if we do a lunchtime program. Now, I'm not suggesting that's in place right now. That takes a while to develop this thing. But that's why we're trying to do those. So this MOU would affect exactly the same responsibilities at the Kent Store Fire Station, at the Palmyra Fire Station, or at the Beaver Dam Baptist Church if we did it up there. It's the same kind of
thing.
And I understand your arguments, and I'm not arguing against whichever way you want to go. We're ready to do it any way you want. But if JAVA is going to be providing us meals and not having a staff member here to monitor that, then we have to at least follow some rules. This is just the set of rules we're required to follow to make sure we're feeding those meals in the right way with the right temperatures and things. There's no cost transfer in this because JAVA already provides the meals. So for whatever else whatever other discussions you'll have, I'm just telling you the staff can do this within our existing resources. That's what's been planned, and we're ready to go. We certainly plan on reaching out to other areas of the county. That's been the goal for this fiscal year all along. That's why we do all the meetings.
But this, once again, that's not what we're voting on.
Yeah, this program right now is not on how many meals are fed. This program only talks about whenever you feed a JAVA meal, it has to follow these rules. Now, I understand it may only be 20 or 30 or 25 meals a week at one place right now. I'm not suggesting that's good or bad. I'm just suggesting whatever meals JAVA provides, wherever they provide them in our county, these are the rules that had to be followed. That's why the MOU is here.
I would readdress this if you and staff follow through with what you just said and start touching other parts of the county. And then I would readdress it. But as it stands right now, I agree with Sid where it sits.
Whatever you all wish.
Because words are easy and actions are tough. And historically, nothing has ever changed.
You know, I'm sitting here and I'm saying to myself, I'm glad we've had this discussion because it has opened my eyes that we need much more education about the services we provide and much more understanding and much more involvement when these things are coming out into our community, these people trying to spread things.
Yes.
We need to be there as Board of Supervisor members. When we have these things scheduled, we need to be there and be involved and know what's going on. I am so happy we had this discussion because now I realize that there's some lacking understanding of what JABA does and what JABA and Parks and Recreation has been trying to do for the senior citizens of this county. Yes, we have a satellite and a practice area for Union. It's been there a long time. But it was all during last year's spring. You all ventured out to try to make it touch every senior citizen in this community. And the board's not aware of it.
He presented.
Yeah. That shakes me to the core. Don't come in here arguing with me when you're not involved and you don't know what's going on. I don't want to hear it. But we've had this discussion. We're going to give directions to our county administrator on what you wanted to do. I think, Don, did you say it was all right that he bring the thing back? Or let it go back, whatever it is. We're going to come back and address it again. Anybody have any objections?
I say leave it the way it is.
Yeah, just leave it the way it is. It's always, okay. Government is always encroaching upon things that take a little bit here and a little bit there. And I guess my philosophy, I get tired of always trying to control other people's lives. And I think people are tired of that also. I mean, just that philosophy.
And the other thing we need to be aware of, I think that they've set up the program with what we just talked about tonight in mind, so they're going to have to, it won't be the same. They've got to go back and revamp what they had in mind.
Have to be revamped.
Because what they had in mind was based on this.
Right.
So I don't think staying the exact same is
what they had in mind was based on what you approved in the budget.
Yeah, I don't think we can't. Staying the same is not an option.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have to make some changes because we're changing.
You approve this path in the budget. That's why this document's coming forward.
Right. So, Attorney, can I direct our county administrator as chairman to look at this whole situation and come back and give us some more information on how we can manage this without an MOU? Or do I have to have?
Or with the
MOU.
Contract.
I'm not hearing that the board is interested in the contract either.
Right. No, they're not interested in the contract, the MOU.
Well, they're not interested in this document.
Right. But we have to go back and restructure.
You don't have to do anything.
Yeah, we don't have to do anything.
If you do nothing as of now, as I understand it, JABA will continue to operate the program as they have in the past, and the budget remains as you approved it.
No. No. The budget was specifically decreased to take JABA staff members.
I understand that, but if the board doesn't approve the county's taking this activity over, then it remains
with JABA.
But we're
not taking it.
Well, yes, you are. Let me explain it simply. JABA does five things. This year, we said, okay, JABA, the board said during your budget revisions that JABA, we only want you to do
four things next year, and we're going to cut your funding to probably pay for the four things we want. Staff is going to do this piece of it. Now, we still want you to bring the meals, but we don't pay for those anyway. We're just bringing the meals. They bring the meals out as part of the program. But if they bring the meals and we serve them to citizens in our county, we just have to follow certain rules. That's what the genesis of this agreement is. If we want to tell JABA that their $92,000 in funding for this year is all they're going to get, and they have to continue, but we can't tell them they have to continue. We have to say, what can you provide for $92,000? You all have to say if that's good enough.
But if the board takes no action to change the budget, then the $92,000 is all there is.
Indeed.
Now, JABA doesn't have to continue this activity, or doesn't have to continue in this form or for this frequency or whatever it is. But that's not up to the county. That's up to JABA. So if you do nothing, that's what's going to happen. It's going to, the activity will go back to JABA's responsibility, wherever they choose for that to be. And the funding will be as you've approved it in the budget. That is, the thing will be reduced.
Now, what will we do with the amount of money that you said transferred to the Parks and Recreation? Was 36?
No, it would stay there unless you directed to go back to the general fund.
Okay.
All of it is operating costs for Parks and Rec, and Parks and Rec can certainly use that for programs.
If you do nothing, it stays in Parks and Rec or the general fund as it is.
Okay. Does everyone agree that that's where we're going? That's what should happen.
Jeremy, you've really gotten pretty far afield on this because you've acted on the item before you on the agenda, and there was a motion to fail for one of the second.
Right.
Now, if there's another motion to do something else, that's the appropriate thing to do. Otherwise, you really should move on to something else on the agenda.
Okay, maybe we need to do a motion.
We'll move on and just have to readdress it later. That's what would happen, correct?
Well, if you do nothing,
we're going to do nothing.
If you do nothing, then it's up to JABA to adjust
within the program.
If you do nothing tonight,
county staff will have to take action to engage with JABA, but that's just in the course of our daily jobs. I'm going to have to go back to the JABA CEO, we'll figure out where to go next, and if I have a problem, I'll come back to you.
Yeah.
If it is against what you directed, you'll hear it.
Well, I would appreciate if you did that, so...
Next,
we will go to G, appointment of the Economic Development Authority, two at large vacancies. And I think we have
four candidates, two current members and two prospective members for the two open seats on the EDA.
So the two current members are Donnie Scott and Scott Marshall.
Correct.
And then we have two new people.
And they want to be reappointed.
They want to be reappointed.
They're requesting an appointment in Katie Cross and Dave Perry.
Okay,
I'm going to appoint Donnie Scott Marshall.
Reappoint. Mm-hmm.
To the Economic Development Authority with terms to begin July the 1st, 2014 and to terminate June the 30th. 2018.
All right. Do we have a
second? Are you afraid to second? It has been moved by Mr. Weave and seconded by Mr. Ullenberg. All in favor?
All right.
Chair votes aye. Okay, the next one is appointment Youth Advisory Council at large. And we have Mr. Hughes, right?
Right.
Okay.
I'm sorry. We just have the current member requesting reappointment.
Yeah.
Mr. Bill Hughes.
Okay. All right. Do we have
to reappoint Mr. Hughes to the Youth Advisory Council with the term to begin July 1, 2014, terminate June 30, 2016.
Okay, do I have a second?
Come on, come on. Second.
Wake up.
Oh, eat a pretzel, I'm sorry.
I'm going to buy one of those buttons from Staples that says second.
Yes. I guess it was eaten somewhere. I have a little sign that says that. All right, it's been moved by Mr. Ollenbrook and second by Mr. Sheridan that Mr. Bill Hughes will be on the Youth Advisory Council. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye, so that's four. And you're recording it, Mr. O'Brien said. Okay, now we have another appointment, the Partnership for Aging at Large.
Now, I think you've gotten one.
Yes.
You've got the hard copy in front of you. You have two candidates for this, Nancy Weichert and Andy Kirchner, are the two representatives for the at-large position.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, I think you've got both of them there, and I can pull up here on the screen as well.
What counties, I mean, what districts are they from?
Not the two, Fork Union or Columbia, unfortunately.
Are they
from one is from Cunningham.
Right, but,
yeah.
But neither one came from the Fork Union or Columbia. Mary had checked for, Ms. Weaver had checked for us just to make sure that they weren't eligible for one of the district positions. So these are truly at-large applicants.
Okay. So we have the...
I hate to turn one down.
I do too, and they're both good candidates, and the Partnership for Aging appreciates having both of these good candidates put their names in, but they're not from the two districts that you've got openings in. I mean, you turn on behalf of all the good people that supply these things, you turn down good candidates every single board meeting. Because we have good citizens, you almost always get more than one candidate for a job, and you oftentimes have to make choices.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so, Nancy and Amy, we can't vote on them.
Yes.
We can't.
Yes, so
we
this is for, you're requesting
one?
For one of them for an at-large right. position.
Okay. So we have two people, we have to choose one.
And one is Cunningham and one is Ravanna, I think, Ms. Weaver told me.
I'm going to let this one go to you, Mrs. Booker.
I
take
can't.
Your advice on, take your advice on it.
Right.
Because...
Well, there was one...
It's... Can we defer this one?
Amy.
We can. You're going to have... July 2nd, you're going to have... at a minimum, the Columbia seat coming up, and we hope to have four Union candidates by then. If you fill this one and then those two that night on July 2nd, then the Partnership Agent will be full at that time until vacancy comes filled.
But we still have to fill this at large between
yeah,
us, so you can do it tonight or we can do it later.
If you have a name, I'm all for going for it, if you want to make that. Because I'm told...
Amy?
I move to appoint, what's the last name?
Kirchner.
Amy Kirchner to the Fluvanna Partnership on the Aging at Large with the term to begin immediately and to terminate December 31st, 2017.
All right. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. It's been moved by Mr. Ollenbrook and second by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The chair votes aye, so that's four to one.
I know it's a difficult decision on those, but both are well qualified candidates.
And something will come up in this year.
Indeed.
Tell them change
their
bylaws.
I leave that one on Mrs. Booker.
Tell them change their bylaws.
They do want to change the bylaws, by the way, but I'll bring that up.
And then this person come in to... Okay, we have appointment through that across the Rec Advisory Council.
Now, you've got three candidates now. Originally, your package just had Roxanne Carter-Johnson, but Rebecca Landsberg and David Perry are in that package. And so you've got
these are all new
documents.
Mm-hmm.
The two new ones that you've got there in front of you, yes.
No.
I'm aware of the consternation, Mr. Weaver, and I would frankly prefer not to put candidates on at the last minute, but what does the board want?
It's not fair.
The hard thing is that we review these things
indeed.
On Friday mm-hmm. and Saturday and Sunday and pretty much made a decision. I get on all of them and then you get
yeah
and then
something else comes in
and then the second that we were voting on it we get
yeah it's not fair to us
because we actually do put time into
some board members. And I'm not sure that I don't recall which ones, but some of you have asked before, can you make sure this gets on, when it was a last minute submission. And so we've been trying to be accommodating. It's like a citizen gets one in, or a board member says, hey, I know there's one come in, make sure that's on there too. We've tried to be accommodating that. We can do it whatever you want. We can have a cutoff
date. Let's have a cutoff date. Let's not.
You know, when
we don't have it before the package goes out.
Right, then
yes.
Don't.
Right. So who was the name that we had?
Roxanne Carter Johnson.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I always add the ones in red on there. If they're a new ad after your package. So
I move to appoint Roxanne Carter Johnson to the Parks and Rec Advisory Board with the term to begin immediately and terminate June 30, 2016, filling the vacant position of Scott Scudamore.
Second.
All right, it has been moved by Mr. Allenbrook and second by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? If not, chair votes aye. So that's 4 with 1 absent. Okay. All right. Yeah, that was painless, right? Now we have a presentation by our County Director of Finance on the fiscal year 15 budget update.
Don't be controversial.
No, I'm not going to be. Madam Chair, members of the board, I'm just here just to kind of give you a brief update, and I'll be brief. As you all know or may not know, the Senate and House passed the biennium budget on June 12th. Within that budget, spending cuts and the rainy day fund would account for the $1.5 million revenue shortfall. That budget plan calls for holding most state spending at current levels. Just kind of at a first glance, like I said, it's preliminary still, you know, still have to wait for what the governor's going to do. But at first glance, initial projections show that there's not going to be a major impact on Savannah County. One thing we saw for the schools looks like, as Mr. Nichols pointed out, that there was going to be around a $20,000 state reduction for the schools funding.
Where is that specifically?
Where is
that $20,000 coming?
I don't have the exact numbers, and I could look at that to see what the difference is, but
I might go pull up the email here.
Area,
I'm not sure. I would have to pull up the Department of Education spreadsheet to see what the difference is for what the funding source is.
The critical part of the whole budget is funding per child. You know, that's where the big money comes in.
That's not expected to change. While he's talking, I'll pull up here and tell you what the dollars are left for him.
And obviously, also, you know, what possible changes could come about could be from the compensation board. Just some preliminary memos that came out there talking about, as Mr. Nichols stated earlier, too, some career development programs could possibly see cuts for those programs for constitutional offices.
The only place that would affect now is right now the Commissioner of Revenues program. There are three people in the Commissioner of Revenues up.
Well, and from what I was reading to it noted a cut in that program for commissioners as well as their deputy clerks.
So there's three people in the office now that get career development pay. Mm-hmm. It has always been a year-to-year program. Whenever the funding is not there, they don't get it. If the funding is there, they get it. The board has covered that. If it's not in the budget this year, it just wouldn't be continuing to pay. If it goes back in the budget next year, then they would get it back. We listed as stipends in the pay, so that it's specifically separate. But Mr. Sheridan is well aware, and the other constitutional officers know that it's based on whether state funding comes through for the special programs.
Yeah, so hopefully in about 5 to 7 days, we should have more rock-solid figures on the compensation board and what they're going to be funding for FY15.
The dollars for the schools, as it stands now, it's right at $20,938, so about $21,000. Mostly in very slightly increased group life insurance and retiree health care credit.
$20,000 reduction.
So $21,000. And in fiscal year 16, the estimate is $18,008. So under $20,000.
And it's in what area?
Group life insurance and retiree health care credit rates.
Okay.
So it's really minor. And there was almost, that we could find, there was almost no impact for us on K-12 funding. So that would be good, because that's obviously a big pot of money for the county for there and for other counties. But that little bit of funding and then the CDP is...
Yeah, those are the only main ones that we saw that really affected us at first glance.
Okay.
Okay, so kind of in this whole mix of when the House and Senate passed the budget, from the last board meeting, we gave the board recommendations on what we thought, you know, should happen, should there be a budget impasse, or if there's any reductions in FY15 revenues or any type of state funding that we get. So just to kind of reiterate some of those, we noted holding expenditures for CIP projects, deferred non-essential staff training, travel 3 to 6 months, implement temporary hiring freeze, hold staff pay raises in abeyance, make them retroactive, and then also develop a plan for across-the-board cuts in non-personnel cost for 5% and 10%. Mr. Nichols sent out an email, I think it was last week, just asking all departments to just kind of take these things into account and just outline, you know, what would a temporary hiring freeze do for their department? What type of dollars could they hold off on spending for 3 to 6 months? And then also just kind of develop a plan for a 5%, 10% cut for their budgets. And that was based upon non-personnel budgets, basically just operational costs. And then there's a few departments that had some large, more mandated and critical mission services that you just couldn't cut. So based upon those cuts, the 5% cut came out to $185,985, and a 10% cut came to $261,475. Obviously, right now with where the budget is, it's kind of premature to say, you know, we're gonna do a X percent cut until we really know what the governor's going to do. But just to kind of give you an idea, these are some of the figures that came in from all departments.
What I'd like to make you aware of is that if you did a 10% cut in non-personnel funding and things that you have the ability to cut, some mandated programs we're going to have to do, it's really small potato dollars. And I don't mean $260,000 is small to an individual, but our budget is a very small, less than a penny on the tax rate.
Yeah.
We don't have very much fat on our bones in the day-to-day operations. They're very tight and lean. The only place we've got big dollars is in personnel costs. And then CIP projects.
80%, isn't it, usually?
Yeah, wrong about that, yes, sir. And so we've had everybody take a look. We're prepared. Those items we listed on the previous page about the potential recommendations, all those are in place, sitting there waiting still until we get final word on the governor's budget. Assuming the governor adopts the budget without significant changes, and then the House and the Senate, there's no changes that the House and Senate have to take action on, I think your adopted budget is fine and good to go and ready to go forward. But I wouldn't, on July 2nd, start spending, you know, $3 million on a capital project that if you didn't know the answer yet. So
we're prepared. Okay. We're set.
We are. We're right on.
Thank you.
Yep. And that's basically it. If there's any questions.
Thank you. Okay. Now we're at our consent agenda, and on that consent agenda we have minutes of June 4, 2014. M is fiscal year 14 Fluvanna County Public Schools state grant, and MC, renewal of county attorney contract. Anyone like to pull anything?
What is the state grant?
Yeah, it's a grant for up to $8,500. Had to be obligated through the end of this fiscal year. It's for career and technical education.
Right.
There's no local match.
Good.
Yep. Anybody else want to pull anything?
No. One note on the county attorney contract. The only thing that changed on there is that Christine Hoffman, one of the county attorney's staff, is now, as of this year, last fall, I think, is a assistant county attorney formally appointed, so therefore she just falls in a different line on there as far as the hourly rate.
What happened on that was that her hourly rate should have been adjusted last year, but it wasn't. And
we're not complaining.
Okay. That's what it is.
It's nice to see a level of charge there. So.
Okay. May I have a motion on the consent agenda?
Madam Chairman, I move to approve the consent agenda that you just read off on the minutes, and the school grant, and the renewal of the county attorney.
Okay, do we have a second? All right, it has been moved by Mr. Weave and seconded by Mr. Arlenbrook that we approve the consent agenda. All in favor? Anyone opposed? The chair votes aye. That's 4-1. And we've done our unfinished business. Any new business? Okay, now we will have our second public comments. Would you please come to the podium, give your name and address, and you have 5 minutes to address the boards. Do we have anyone? Oh my goodness.
Go.
I'm disappointed.
Go.
Hit the gavel. Now I want to wait a little while. Okay, I'm going to close the second public comments, and now we will go into closed meeting. Mr. Weaver.
Madam Chairman, I move that the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A1 of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended for the purpose of discussing investment of funds.
Mr. Weaver, could I also ask that you do it also for consultation with legal counsel?
And for consultation of legal
counsel. Was that the investment of funds?
Yes.
That's not...
That's a proper subject. But if you could also add consultation with legal counsel.
Okay.
So may.
All right. Do we have a second? We need a second. You were playing games tonight. Okay, that's all right.
That time you're playing games.
All right, we it is moved by Mr. Weaver and second by Mr. Arlenbrook. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, then we will be in closed session. Y'all are getting on my nerves now. Mr. Weaver.
I move the closed meeting be adjourned. Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be it resolved to the best of my knowledge on public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711-A of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended, and only such public business matters as were identified in the motion for which the closed meeting was convened or heard, discussed, or considered in a meeting.
Okay, okay. Mr. Michael, what do you say? Is that okay?
Aye.
Don?
Aye.
Bob? And the chair says
aye. Who's the second, Madam Chair?
A second.
Mr. Chair.
And then I do the, it was a second, and then we took a roll call.
Right.
Okay. We need a adjournment. We need to, do we want to adjourn?
I think that's all you need to do. We're not going to get a second.
I'll second that.
Oh, no, you.
I'll make the motion.
And second it too, huh?
No, ma'am.
Oh, you're the motion. May we have a second?
Second.
All right, it's been moved by Mr. Sheridan, second by Mr. Weaver, and we adjourn. All in favor?
No, aye.
Chair says aye. All right.
I'm here.